you don't know, we'll open it up to others. So you all need to be counting. How many times in the readings that they're reading now does it say the word you? So it's about God. How many times does it say the word you? So that's something you can be doing while you're listening. See if you get to the same number that I got to. All right, Ollie?
Psalm 67, verses 5 to 6. God, the people should praise you. All people should praise you. The land has given its crops. God, our God, bless us.
Psalm 65, verse 9 to 11. You take care of all the land and water it. You make it very fertile. The rivers of God are full of water. Grain grows because you make it grow. You cause rain to fall on ploughed fields. You soak them in water.
Psalm 65, verse 9 and 11. You soften the ground with rain, and then you bless it. You give the year a good harvest. You load the wagons with many crops.
Okay, Thrive people. Did you notice how many times you said the word you? What do you think, Freddie? Anybody else got any other guesses or any ideas? Jesse? 12. What do you think, Elle? Do you know what I made it? 11. Well done. Come and sit down. Very close.
So in our group last week in Thrive, we were learning about changes. So we were looking at seeds and what they grow into and the food they can make. We were looking at different things you might wear in different types of weather. We looked out the window to see that the trees were changing colour and talked about the seasons changing. We talked about how we change ourselves. We change from being small babies into children and then adults. We change by going to nursery and to school and then to work. So we were thinking about how everything around us and in us changes, but how Jesus Christ stays the same yesterday, today and forever. So the children have made autumn apple trees. And can you read your verse though? Can you read that? Go on, have a go. Can you read it? Can you read it, Esme? Don't shy. Seasons change, but Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's really important when you've got lots of changes going on in your life to remember Jesus is always there. Now, I think we're going to do some singing. Sue's class, could you come up to help with the singing?
Thank you. I don't know about you, but I think that deserves a round of applause, don't you? Now, Thrive meet every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, so if you are primary school age, then you're very, very welcome to go along to Thrive. The teachers will be thrilled to see you. They have lots of fun and crafts, as you can see, and play games, and importantly, hear a message about Jesus Christ. Well, we're going to stand now as well and sing a couple of songs. We're going to sing Count Your Blessings and The Steadfast Love of the Lord Never Ceases, so we can sing these two songs together. So please stand when the music starts. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together now. We thank you, Lord, for who you are. We thank you for the way that you keep promises. We thank you, Lord, we've just heard that you never change. Yesterday, today and forever, you will always be the same. And that reassures us so much, Lord. It means that we can trust your holy word, the Bible. And so, Father, as we meet together now, we pray that we will understand who it is that we are coming to. We pray that by your Spirit you will teach us and show us more about yourself. Teach us, Lord, who you are. And we pray that we will see just how much we need you. Lord, we're the very opposite of you. But we thank you through your Son, Jesus Christ, that our relationship with you can be fixed if we trust him to be our Saviour. And Father, as we meet together on this Harvest Thanksgiving morning, we want to bring thanks for exactly that. We thank you so much for the way that you provide food for us. Lord, each of us have had the opportunity to have breakfast this morning. And Lord, we thank you for the food in our cupboards and in our fridges. We thank you, Lord, that we have supermarkets that we can go to whenever we need to. We thank you for the money you provide us to buy that food. But Lord, we thank you so much for the food that grows from the ground. We thank you for all those that commit their careers to farming and to trying hard to help provide food for this country. And Lord, we know that's often a difficult and a thankless task, often a task that doesn't go very well paid, often a task, Lord, that is abused by those in bigger businesses. And we pray, Lord, that you will continue to bless us with people who are willing to dedicate their lives to farming and to growing the crops that can produce our food. Father, we thank you so much the way that you are so thoughtful about us, even when we can be so thoughtless about you. And Father, you provide everything that we need, not just our food, but Lord, we thank you for the roofs over our head. And sometimes we're not always grateful for that, but we thank you, Lord, that we have somewhere safe to stay where we can lock a door and get into a warm, cozy bed. We thank you that you are so mindful of us. And Lord, so often these are things that we don't even pray for, that we forget to pray for. Yet, because you are so merciful, you provide these things for us and make our lives comfortable. And Lord, when we consider all the things that we are thankful for, we also remember those who don't have those things, and things that we take for granted that would be something so desired by those in poorer countries. And we pray for them this morning, that you will provide for them everything that they need. And Lord, we pray that you will give them the food and clothing and shelter that they need. But most of all, Lord, we pray that they will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, that the best thing of all that we can know is you. And we pray that that will be a big comfort to them, and that, Lord, it will be a real blessing to us. We don't want to be just really focusing on the gifts, but we thank you that you, the giver, are the one that gives us all these things. Help us to be thankful and mindful of you when you give so freely to us and give us the opportunity to live a comfortable life. Help us then, Lord, to be thankful for everything we have. And we pray that these blessings won't be unthanked, but that, Lord, you will make us truly thankful in our heart. And we thank you so much for your love and your patience with us. Even while we're sinful, you sent Jesus into this world to pay the price of our sins that we deserve. And Lord, we thank you for that, that we have a hope. We thank you that Jesus is alive today, that he came back from the dead to give us new life. And so we pray for everyone here this morning. We pray, Lord, throughout this town, throughout this country, throughout the whole world, that people will come to know and love the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he gave up everything, all the riches and glories of heaven, to come down, have a humble birth, and to live a life that was so modest, and that somewhere he didn't even have his own home. But Lord, he gave up everything because of his great love to his people. And Father, we can't quite imagine love, unconditional love like it. But we pray that we will seek to emulate him more and more, that you will make us more and more like our Saviour every single day. And that, Lord, we will grow to love him and appreciate him more. So, Father, as we gather together then this morning, we pray for a really thankful heart. And, Lord, also give thanks for the children in Thrive, and for the teachers who teach them the Word of God each week. We thank you for the fun they have. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity they have to hear the Word of God spoken to them. And we pray that it might make a difference in their lives. And we pray for the older group too in Rooted, that, Lord, you will bless them also. And that through it, we might have people coming to know the giver of all these wonderful gifts. So, Father, be glorified now, we pray. You deserve all the glory and all the praise that we could ever give in the whole of our lifetime. And we thank you that when we get to, when that day comes that we are called to before you, that we will be able to go into heaven if our trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there we will be able to praise you and glorify you forever. And we'll be together with all of the people in the Bible and all of our family who have gone before us who have trusted you as their Saviour. Lord, what a great time that will be. We thank you that you are calling people into your family. You want people to be saved because you are our loving Heavenly Father. So bless us now, we pray, and hear our prayers, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we've got some more readings that will be the basis of Mark's talk. And we've got a couple of kind volunteers from Rooted. Now, Rooted is the older group, so we meet on a Sunday morning at 10 o'clock as well, while Thrive is on. And again, we go through the Bible, we hear Bible stories, we try and learn more about God's Word together and have some fun while we're doing it. So if you're a secondary school age and you don't already come to Rooted, then you're very, very welcome. But Annie and Esme have got our next Bible readings.
Deuteronomy 24, verse 17 to 22. Do not be unfair to a foreigner or an orphan. Don't take a widow's coat in place of a loan. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God saved you from there. That is why I am commanding you to do this. You might be gathering your harvest in the field. You might not see a bundle of grain. Don't go back and get it. Leave it there for foreigners, orphans, and widows. Then the Lord your God can bless everything you do. You may beat your olive trees to knock the olives off, but don't beat the trees a second time. leave what is left for foreigners, orphans, and widows. You may harvest the grapes in your vineyard, but don't pick the vines for a second time. Leave what is left for foreigners, orphans, and widows. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt. This is why I'm commanding you to do this.
Proverbs 3, verse 27 to 28. Whenever you are able, do good to people who need help. If you have what your neighbour asks for, don't say to him, "Come back later, I will give it to you tomorrow." Luke 21, verse 1 to 4. Jesus saw some rich people putting their gifts into the temple money box. Then Jesus saw a poor widow. She put two small copper coins into the box. She said, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow gave only two small coins, but she really gave more than all those rich people. The rich have plenty, they give only what they do not need. The woman is very poor, but she gave all she had, and she needed that money to live on."
Thank you very much, girls. Well, we're going to stand and sing again, and then after Mark's got the talk for us. And so we're going to stand and sing, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." So let's stand together and praise God. Once again, and a good morning, especially to the children. It's great to have you here. Put your hand up. I'm not expecting many hands to go up. If you've been involved in the harvest somehow, if you've kind of been out in the fields and gathered things in, if any of us at all. Little hand going up here. We won't embarrass Leah. Anyone else? Not many. Anyone done any like apple picking or anything?
No, well, I'm not surprised, because for most of us, we're sort of out of touch. Luke said maybe we're townies. You know, we're not out in the fields, most of us, are we? Sometimes we have people here who are out there gathering things in. But for most of us, when we think of food, we're thinking the shops. And we've got shops in Crowborough, haven't we? Quite a few shops. So here's a map of Crowborough, and this is us, where we are right now, roughly. And who can tell me, what are the big shops we've got in Crowborough, especially children? What are the big shops we've got in Crowborough? We've got loads of little ones, but what are the big ones? Yeah. Tesco, we've got a Tesco right the other side of town. Yeah. Morrison's, we've got a Morrison's. Waitrose, yeah, we've got a Waitrose. Yeah. Lidl, one more. It's a bit smaller. Yeah. Begins with S. Yeah. Sainsbury's. Yeah, here you go. So, Lidl's about there. Morrison's is about there. Waitrose. Sainsbury's. And Tesco. To be honest, the map's so faint, you probably can't see it, but it gives you a bit of an idea. But we've got lots of shops around, haven't we? And so for us, when we think of food, most of us don't even realise when harvest is going on, because all year round, we go to the shops, and they are stacked full, and just food everywhere. There's so much choice. Now, this morning, I'm going to take you back in time, and we're going to go back thousands of years to the time when Moses was around. A lot of you would have heard of him. I know you Thrive would have heard of him if you've been in Thrive. And God's people had got out of Egypt, and they were nearly into the promised land. That's where they'd been on their way to for a long time. They were nearly into the promised land. They weren't quite there yet. But God had some commands for them. He said, this is what I want you to do when you get into the promised land, and it's to do with harvest. And he said this, when you're getting in your wheat, when you're harvesting all the wheat, imagine, you know, they're putting all the bundles together, all the sheaves, as they're called, and they're getting them all together. And then when it comes to the end of the day, when you're collecting them all in, if you forget one, oh, we left one in the corner, don't go and get it. Leave that for other people. In fact, it says, leave it for the foreigners, for the orphans and the widows. In other words, people who might not be able to get their own food very easily, people who might not have much money and who were very vulnerable. So it's basically caring for the poor and the vulnerable. And God was saying, don't pick up everything, don't go back and pick up every little scrap. If you leave bits behind, leave it behind. You'll have plenty, but then when the poorer people come through, or the more vulnerable come through, they'll be able to pick up some themselves. And if you know the story of Ruth in the Bible, that's exactly what happens with her a lot later. But this is what happens with her. She's a foreigner. She's a widow. And she goes into the field. And the farmer at that point deliberately says, look, leave bits behind. Do it on purpose. And so Ruth is able to actually go, and she's able to pick up this wheat and get her food. And, you know, this is a wonderful thing that God does to make sure that people are cared for. Now, in this sort of time, people didn't often care for the poor in society, the outcast, the ones that didn't have much. They didn't care much about them. And yet God is saying, care for them. And he's saying, if you do that, God says, I will bless everything you do. Isn't that amazing? But then there's another thing, because harvest isn't just about wheat or crops in the fields. It's also about this one. Can any of you work out, especially maybe young ones, I'll start with you first, what sort of tree this is, if that's what the right term is? Yeah. It's not tomatoes. No, it's something that I really don't like, to be honest. Olives. Very good. Olives. And so, olive trees, what they would do, let me show, I had this specially made for me. Aha. So, what they would do is they would basically go to the olive trees and they would beat them like this. And so I want you to imagine, just for a moment, okay, I want you to imagine there's an olive tree there, okay, and what they'd do is they'd reach up and they would beat them like this, and then olives would drop down. Wow, look, there they go. Can somebody help me pick up these olives? Can we harvest these olives? Can you help me? Is that right? Yeah. Thank you. Lovely. Yeah, I think there's one more. Perfect. Perfect. Look at that. They've already got the stones out of them. Isn't that amazing? Lovely. Wow. And so they would hit the olive trees, and the olives would come down, and they would pick them up. But you know what it says? It says, don't go and do that twice. So do it once, get lots of olives and collect them all up, but don't go back again, because there's going to be some more left up there. And so when the foreigners or the orphans or the widows, the people who don't have their own land or don't have much money or don't have much food, when they walk by, they can find a stick a bit like this, and there's still some left for them. Isn't that amazing how God was caring for these people? I'm going to put that away before I hurt someone with it. And then, well, hopefully we know what these are. What are these? Yeah. Grapes. Yeah, you see, normally we see them like this, don't we? But do you know, they don't actually grow in these. Isn't that amazing? They grow on vines. There you go. You've got some different ones up there. But they grow like that. Put your hands up if you love grapes. And adults, if you love. They are good. They are good. We won't have a debate as to whether red or green are better. But grapes. And again, God says, when you have all these grapes, don't strip the vines completely of every single grape. Leave some behind. You'll get plenty. You'll have plenty for yourself. But when then someone else comes along, there'll be some left for them. Isn't that amazing how God is caring for the poor people? It shows what God is like, that God cares for those who don't have much. And that is good news for us. So, this is what I was just explaining, really. This is what Esme read for us, or most of it, about gathering the harvest and the olive trees and the grapes. But did you notice what it said before and after? This is the reason for why God gave these commands. This is what it says. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God saved you from there. That is why I'm commanding you to do this. And then afterwards it said this. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt. That is why I am commanding you to do this. Now, Thrive, I think you remember this because you've been learning about this. Do you remember God's people have been made slaves in Egypt? And I couldn't get a photo, unfortunately, but I got a picture. And it was awful for them. They had to make bricks, and it was back-breaking work. The sun was really hot. And if they did anything even remotely slowly or not very well, they would get beaten. The slave masters were horrible to them. And it was just a horrible existence, just living as slaves in Egypt. It was horrible. And do you know what God does? Well, actually, what does God do? What does God send? I think you've been studying this. What does God send? Yeah. So he does send Moses, absolutely. And Moses is going to be the leader, absolutely. And do you remember what else he sends? Yeah. He does send Jesus a lot later. We're going to come on to him in a bit. Bit of a spoiler. 10 something. Goodness. Haven't learnt all of it yet. So he sends 10 plagues. And eventually Pharaoh is so sort of fed up with everything happening that he says, okay, just get out. And God rescues his people. And it's nothing to do with them. They haven't done anything. The people haven't. They haven't paid God. They haven't somehow escaped themselves. This is all of God doing. God has sent these plagues and he's made Pharaoh go, just get out of here. And then Moses comes along. Well, Moses is there already. But then Moses gets them all together and he leads them out past the Red Sea, if you remember that story, and towards the Promised Land. And that's where we've got to now. But that was only a few years before the bit we're looking at this morning. And so that's why it's saying, remember that. Remember when I rescued you. So this is why God says, I'm commanding you to do this. Because God cared for them when they didn't have anything. When they were needy and vulnerable. And God's saying, so because I did that for you, I want you to show love to the needy and the vulnerable. And I'm going to command you to do it. Because I rescued you. Okay, just got to do a little bit of setup quickly. And this is the bit I'm a bit more nervous about. Ooh. There you go. I did bring a spare in case I smashed one. Right, okay. Now, I know it doesn't look like it, but I'm going to imagine this is God's kindness to us, okay? And this is us, and this is God's kindness. Now, is someone happy to pour some of this? Go on, have you put your hand up first. So what I need to do is carefully pour this into the top one and just keep going until I say stop, okay? What do you think is going to happen? Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Your arm's aching. You doing all right? Keep going. Keep going. Okay, and we'll give you a break. We'll stop there. Well done. Great job. Okay, now, children, what's happened to the others around it? Or most of the others, anyway. What's happened? Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Do you see what happened? That this one got full up with God's kindness, and then it spilled over. And these ones are completely, well, pretty much, almost, this one's completely full. That one's a little bit empty, but it's still got some in. You see, this is what happens with God. You see, when he gives us so much love and kindness, and this is what he'd done for them. He'd given them so much kindness in rescuing them and given them so many good things. And he says, now I want you to give it to those around you. And it's like they were overflowing with goodness, God's kindness to those around them. And that's what we need to do too. When God gives us so many things, we need to sort of overflow and pass it on to those around us so that they too can experience God's kindness. Okay, lovely. I'm just going to move that a little bit. Lovely. But what about us? So we thought a little bit about us there, but none of us have been slaves in Egypt. At least I hope not. We haven't been in their situation. And that was the big motivation that God gave them. You were slaves. I rescued you. So that is why I command you to be kind to the poor and the needy. But none of us have been slaves in Egypt. But you know, that whole thing in Egypt, it was a picture really of something actually much bigger. And the Bible says that actually we are slaves, as it were, to sin, the Bible says. To our guilt, to our shame. It's like we're held captive by our sin. And what it does is it stops us getting anywhere near God because we're guilty. And the relationship with God is broken and we cannot have access to him because of that. It's like we're in prison because of sin. But what does God do? Well, God rescues us. If we ask him to. And it's free. We don't have to pay God. It's nothing to do with us. He can free us from captivity to our guilt and to our shame and to our sin. Thrive, how does he do that? How does he free us? How does Jesus free us? Yeah. Yeah, that's what God does, doesn't he? So at Christmas, we remember God sending his son, Jesus, into the world. Remember that baby that comes into the world as a human, that lives that perfect life, and then dies an innocent death as the sacrifice in our place. And what does that achieve? Well, it achieves Jesus conquering sin. Jesus can free us from the power of sin. That's kind of what's happening there. Now, I'm going to say at the end, if you want to ask more questions about this, please do, because there's so much we could say. But on the cross, Jesus takes the power of sin and he crushes it. And he offers forgiveness so that we can be set free from our guilt and our shame and so that we can have access to God again. And in case we're not sure whether Jesus was successful or whether he's really the Son of God, what happened 3 days later? He rose again. He conquered death, showing, yes, he can give us access to God because he is God himself. This is what it says in the New Testament. We have freedom now because Christ made us free. We have freedom now. And you know, this is why I'm up here at the front talking. This is why sometimes you'll find people from this church talking to other people about this, because we've experienced the freedom that Jesus gives us from our guilt, from our shame, from our sin. And we've experienced coming to know God for ourselves. And that is too good to keep quiet. And that is why we love sharing it. It's why we love talking about it, because Jesus made us free. There's a good number of people here this morning who know that. And I'm sure they'd love to chat to you about it if you want to talk. This is what Jesus says in the Gospel of John in the New Testament. He says, I give you a new command. Love each other. You must love each other as I have loved you. So this is a new command to us. Love each other. You must love each other as I have loved you. Now, how much did Jesus love us? Enough to die on the cross for us. Super love, I'm going to call it. Super love. So then we're to love each other with super love. That's what Jesus says. So it is lovely bringing food. So the food bank is brilliant, and I'm really pleased that we've done that. But if that was all we did all year, just brought a few things along one week a year, would that be super love? Would that be the sort of super love Jesus shows? No. Not at all, would it? That wouldn't be super love. I wonder what super love might be like. Well, Jesus was around, and he was there one time. This is a true story. And he was there, and there were all these rich people giving lots of money. Now, when you hear about all this, you know, loving people and giving lots and being generous, you might be thinking, well, the problem is I'm only a child. I haven't got much of my own money at all. I've only got a tiny little bit. Or maybe you're up in the gallery and you're a bit older, you're a teenager maybe, but you're thinking, well, I've got my car to pay for, or driving lessons, or maybe you're thinking about university or even things like rent, and you're thinking, I haven't got that much, maybe you're earning a little bit, but you're thinking, I want to hold on to everything I've got, you know, I don't want to be giving anything away because, you know, I need it. Or maybe you're an adult and the bills just keep coming in, and it's hard to pay those bills, and you're sort of scraping by. Well, there was a thing that happened to Jesus. He was watching on, and there was several people. Well, I'm only going to choose one. Can we have one volunteer? Is that all right? Yeah. Do you want to come up? Lovely. Thank you. And another volunteer, preferably a girl. Be great. Yeah, do you want to come up? Lovely. Thank you very much. Okay, if you both come over here. And this is what happened, okay? Okay, there's your wallet. Hold on to that for a moment. Okay, so the rich man, he came over to the giving baskets over here. Yeah, come on over. And look at that. He's got an elastic band on the wallet because there's so much money in there. And he, it's pretty tough. Why don't you give out? I'll tell you, why don't you give a 500 first? A 500 note. Look at that. Oh, 500 in it goes. You can chuck a bit more in. Make sure people see. Yeah, go on, Chuck. Yeah, we can do a bit more than that. Yeah, go for it. Look at all that. Whoa. Look at all that money. Cool. Great. And just quickly show people what you've got left. Okay, still a fair amount. Okay, you wander off. Well done. Thank you very much. Lovely. Yeah, go and put it down there somewhere. Great. All that money put in. And then this lady comes up, and she's a widow. And she's got a little box. Do you want to shake it? Okay. Well, not really much in there at all. Do you want to come over and give what you got? So what have you got to put in? Oh, a couple of coins. Well, that's not very much, is it? Lovely. Thank you very much. Okay. You can both go and sit down. Thank you. Just any on the side. Anywhere's fine. Lovely, jubbly. Great job. Do you know, Jesus said that woman gave more than the man did. Because that was all that woman had. You know, that man, he still had so much money in his wallet. He could go home and buy a car on the way home if he wanted to. They didn't have cars back then, but you get the point. But with this woman, that was all the money she had. all of it she had, and she gave it away to God so that they could give it to others. Why did she do that? Because she was so in love with God and what God had done for her that she wanted to give what she had back to God. And she was trusting that God would take care of her. She thought, I'm going to give this to God and I'm going to trust that he's going to take care of me. But isn't that amazing? And it even said in the reading, Annie read this bit, it said that she needed that to live on. And yet she gave that to God. Isn't that an amazing act of giving? So it's challenging for us, isn't it? When we think about being kind, when we think about loving like Jesus loves, it is a challenge to us, isn't it? About how generous we are. But maybe you've got friends, and I'm very nearly finished. Maybe you've got friends, and they don't really need food or money. And around in this area, people might not need food in quite the same way that they might in some really poor areas of the country. But what might you be able to do if you don't give them food or money? Well, I just want you to have a bit of a think about this, just for a few seconds. How else can we show God's love to others? How else? So God has given us so much, whether it's the harvest or whether it's forgiveness through Jesus if we trust in him. So how else can we let that overflow? What else might that look like? Just have a think just for a few moments. Have you got any ideas, Thrive, or not? Yeah, go on. By praying, she might pray for people. Yeah, it's a good way of showing love, isn't it? Absolutely, yeah. By spending time with people, being a listening ear to someone if they're not doing very well, or they're struggling at school and you go and sit with them or play with them. Yeah. Listen to them. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Well, what about forgiving them as well? If God has forgiven us so much, that should spill out so that we should then forgive other people. But as a lot of us adults know, it's a lot easier said than done. Forgiveness is really hard. But that's what's so amazing about God's forgiveness to us. So, just to finish, we've been thinking about harvest, we've been thinking about God's goodness, his kindness to us and giving us these things, but then also caring for the poor and ultimately forgiving us Jesus Christ to set us free. And just there, if you have any questions or you want to talk, obviously I haven't explained everything this morning, so please do come and chat to one of us after the service and we'd love to talk. Thank you for listening. We're going to sing. Give thanks with a grateful heart. So when the music starts, let's stand and we'll sing together.
Thank you very much, Mark. Lots for us to think about. And as Mark said, if you do have questions, then do feel free to speak to Mark or the friend that you came with. Before we close in prayer, just a couple of things coming up.
Saturday the 9th of November, there are fireworks here at Forest Fold. If you'd like to come along, you're very welcome, and you'll need to sign up at the website just so the caterers and the car parkers can know how many people are coming. But it's free to come along, so do put that one in your diary. And the other thing is on Sunday the 10th of November, Remembrance Sunday, we have a service here at 10:55, so the unusual time so that we can get in for a 2 minute silence at 11. And there are flyers at the back by the window, so if you'd like to pick one of those up, please do, and hand them out to your friends and family as well. Bring them along, and it's a nice time for us to remember together God's blessings and help through the various wars and all his goodness to us. Sunday the 10th of November, 10:55, put that one in your calendar as well. Well, let's pray to close. Father, thank you so much for who you are, for the blessings that you bring, not only to make our life comfortable, but to bless our souls as well, to save us from the punishment of sin that we deserve through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you so much for your help to us this morning. We thank you for every blessing that you so freely give to us. Help us to show the love of Jesus to others. Help us to be kind, to share, and to give our time. And Lord, in doing so, sharing the love of Jesus, may we see the goodness of God pouring out through us to others as well. So, Father, thank you so much for all of your blessings, and give us a truly grateful heart. And every day, may we count our blessings and knowing that they have come from you. So, be with us now, we pray, in Jesus' name.